after they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Roger Hannah and Gordon DL are here to reflect on today's football. Look ahead to Celtic against Dundee this evening. Maybe preview tomorrow's games, including Rangers against Queen's Park. And it might be the 7th of February, but the free agent market means we've got a big signing on our hands as Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain checks in at Celtic. Keep the calls coming. With that in mind, let's go back to Celtic Park, check in with Gabriel, get a full recap of the teams, find out if there's anything else of note.
Yeah, Gordon, let's go through the teams once more. Five changes for Celtic. Trusty is back from suspension. Hatate, Bernardo and Sinisalo are all in. And there's a start for one deadline day signing. That's winger Joel Mvuka. Murray and Negron dropped to the bench. Schmeichel, Engels and Maida out of the squad altogether. So it'll be Sinisalo in goal. A defence of Araujo, Trusty, Scales and Tierney. Hatate, McGregor and Bernardo in the middle. Yang, Mvuka and Chvanchara up top. Substitutes Duhan, Negron, Adamu, McCowan, Tunekti, Sirachi, Forrest and Donovan. No place for Benjamin after the centre-half signed on loan deadline date from Brentford. And Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, as you say, just arrived today. Well, officially confirmed today. Are we going to see him at Parkhead? We'll wait and see. For the visitors, Dundee will be McCracken in goal. Astley, Graham and Halliday. Dre Wright, Hamilton, Congreve, Cotterill, Danda and Yogan. Simon Murray, the captain, plays up top. Substitutes O'Hara, Ingram, Digby, Finn Robertson, Samuels, Riley, Scott Wright, Bevan and Jones. Now, so much has changed, Gordon, since Celtic's last game. That deadline day we touched on, they brought in three players on loan. They rejected that massive £25 million bid for Arne Engels. Of course, he is not in the squad today. There was that huge midweek league game at Aberdeen that was postponed just a few hours before kickoff, meaning they've now played a game less than title rivals Hearts and Rangers. And Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has just been announced as a free agent. The 32-year-old has joined on a deal until the end of the season. There's an option to extend for another year. He's been without a club since the summer after ending a two-year stay in Turkey with Besiktas. But of course, we know the pedigree. Played for Liverpool, played for Arsenal, won the Premier League, the Champions League, has over 30 England caps, played at major tournaments. The question is, will he be fit? The referee here will be Ryan Lee, the VAR, Andrew Dallas, and you can't ignore the spectre of a protest today. Many Celtic fans planning to boycott this game. Certainly expected an undersized crowd here tonight. We all know there are historical issues with the board, but if you just look at recent events, Gordon, have eroded the relationship between the fans and the directors here. A poor summer transfer window, a Champions League exit at the hands of Kairat Almaty, a poor start to the league season, which then led to Brendan Rodgers walking away. There were two cup final defeats at Hampden in 2025. The Green Brigade, the biggest ultras group at the club, were banned. There was unprecedented fallout at the AGM, the hiring and firing of Wilfred Nancy within just 33 days. And then just there, the January window where five players were signed, but not a penny was spent. Now, interim chairman Brian Wilson called for unity behind the team on the pitch. He's revealed plans for talks within the next week or so with supporters group. Manager Martin O'Neill called it a big step forward and he hopes to find a middle ground to end the acrimony around the club. But it's very sparse in here right now. There's around 20-25 minutes for kickoff. I'll let you know how we look at half five.
Gabriel just did a good job of advertising any Celtic documentary which they choose to make about this season, yeah, Hugh Keevans, because it'll have a few chapters.
Yeah, a season, a year of utter chaos, and Gabriel itemised it all very well. And that's why there is general unhappiness. Everywhere you look, transfer windows have been poor. The Kairat Almaty result was a disaster, a monetary disaster, apart from any other kind. The whole fiasco around Brendan Rodgers' departure and the statement from Dermot Desmond, the fiasco that was 33 days of Wilfred Nancy, defeats to Rangers, Hearts, Motherwell and Dundee United. 12 points which have sabotaged Celtic's chances of winning this title. Two lots of Martin O'Neill on an interim basis, and the man must look around him at Celtic and wonder what is going on.
And yet, Gordon DL, despite all of that, it is not unthinkable. We've all got our opinions, but it's not unthinkable that Celtic can win this league. So if they could do that after all the downsides that Hugh and Gabs mm-hmm. have just outlined, those won't be fixed overnight. It doesn't make everything go away, but puts a whole different complexion on things.
Oh, 100%. Listen, they could go and win the double, never mind just win the league. Look, I think everybody will agree that they've got their work cut out to win the league. It's not plain sailing because there's two other teams there that have, you know, been in the transfer market. I know that Hearts lost a couple of big hitters, but they've added to their squad. They've got a very good squad. You've got Rangers that are going about their business brilliantly, got the right players in the right positions for them. So it's how Celtic respond to that. And tonight's important, Gordon, whether there's, you know, depends how many people are in Celtic Park. I'm not for a boycotting just now. I get the Celtic fans. I totally know where they're coming from. But I just think at this stage of the season, your team needs you. That's the most important thing. You've got your fights with the board going on. That's okay. You've got to just handle that. But right now, on a match day, the team needs the support.
We tend to forget there is a game of football about to break out at Celtic Park, and it's quite an important game of football because for all the dramas and controversies and flashpoints that we've discussed with Gabs and Hugh a minute ago, Celtic's season would be in danger of total collapse if they were to lose this game of football
I
tonight.
Agree. Saf is a Celtic fan from Leicester. How are you, Saf?
I'm alright, buddy. I'm alright. How are you guys? You guys good?
Yeah, good. Thank you for asking. What made you call tonight?
So I've been listening to your show long.
Oh, Saf's signal down in Leicester's not great. We'll get that cleared up and get him back on. We will take a few more trips to Celtic Park in the lead up to the game and check in with the crowd and all that stuff. Like we've said a few times tonight, it's going to be hard to know exactly who's boycotted and who just wasn't going anyway, because this stage of the cup, when it's at home and it's not in your tickets, season tickets, it doesn't always get a bumper crowd.
I know it's one caller, but one caller said, I bought tickets for the game but I'm not going. You know, in this day and age, you don't throw money out the window like that.
Maybe he's got a few quid. Maybe Or
he's giving his tickets to someone else.
That's a good point. Maybe he's winning the scratch card last night. Saf's back. How are you, Saf? Take it away. Hi, Saf. Can you hear us now?
I can hear you. Can you?
Good, yes. We didn't really catch much. You were just saying you've been listening for a while. So what's your take on Celtic at the moment?
So the way I see it is, look, if I was running the club, at the end of the season, half the squads are running out of their contracts. We've got an ageing squad. Guys like Schmeichel, we need to save that money for the new manager that comes in. Martin O'Neill is not going to be there. The whole reason we got Wilfred Nancy in was because Martin O'Neill did say that, look, I'm in my 70s, I'm getting old, it's a job for a young man. And we didn't even know how long he was going to be there. So they brought him back in, and I truly believe he's one of the best managers I've seen in my lifetime. And he's brought back that hope, but he's not going to be there for long. I mean, the end is not far away. So they need to save that money for whoever they're going to bring in.
I disagree with all that. I think if the right player was there, they've got to spend the money. This is about winning the league. See, if Celtic don't win the league this season, the board has got to come under horrendous pressure because they're going to get, you didn't spend the money in January.
But
right?
Does a transfer fee for a central defender, say, mean that he's better than Benjamin Arthur?
I don't know because I've not seen these guys come in and play.
In theory,
right?
Though.
What I'm saying is the Celtic fans, not me, the Celtic fans are saying already, we've not spent any money. Transfers have been terrible. We've got so much.
But that's what I'm
bank.
Saying. Is it not more relevant to discuss whether it's the right signing or not, rather than what type of contract they were on?
Yeah, but I know where you come from with the fact of loans with the manager. But what I'm saying is, if they don't win the league, mm-hmm. right? Now, there's a possibility they could. These guys could just hit the ground running and be brilliant. The Celtic fans, not me, the Celtic fans are going after a board because of they didn't spend money.
I know, but again,
that's exactly what they're
going
to do.
I'll try and word it a different way. If it's all about just spending the money, what if they spent £5 million on the next Balaquisha? That's the point. It's not just the act of spending the money. It has to be spent on the right person.
And by the way, when Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney go to the board to say, you know, we need this or that or the next thing, the board are perfectly within their rights to say, well, listen, can we put the brakes on this? Because last summer, it was asked for £5 million for Michel-Ange Balaquisha. and now we can't put him in the squad, far less put him in the team. So it'll be really interesting, because the run into this season, starting in 20 minutes against Dundee, is huge for Celtic, because come the summer there'll be an enormous overhaul, but they'll find it's far easier to attract players to Celtic Park if the team's going to be playing in the Champions League rather than the Conference League next season.
You raised the point earlier, Gordon. A director of football is a priority now.
Because if that's the route Celtic go down, but it's some sort of structure.
Because
certainly,
for better or worse, the transfer window is over and Celtic have signed who they have signed, and they will have to try and win the league with those players. A director of football is essential, first of all, to pick the new Celtic manager, because whoever was responsible for Wilfred Nancy should never be anywhere near the job of picking the next permanent Celtic manager. And I think the board have lost the moral authority, and Dermot Desmond has lost the moral authority to get involved in the choice of new manager. Director of football has to come in, play a big part in the selection of the new manager, has to set up a structure which is missing. Celtic are out of date as a football club. Rangers and Hearts have all that side of the business wrapped up. Recruitment is a carefully thought out business. At Celtic Park, it's haphazard. So the club is in need of restructuring. And as I say, for better or worse, Adamu will have to come through. Mvuka will have to come through. And Benjamin Arthur, if we ever see him in a Celtic jersey, will have to come through. But it's done. Celtic have what they have now. The cards have been dealt, and Celtic have to play the ones they have.
Because if Celtic say Celtic spent £10 million in this window, right? Let's say they spent £10 million, but let's revisit it. They brought in Tonetke and Balakwisha for that £10 million. Are you going to say, oh well, at least they spent the money? It's neither here nor there in terms of the impact.
I think the Celtic fans would be.
But is that not short-sighted then? Because, right, well, okay, in the last window, they went and spent, say, £2 million on Shin Yamada. Are you not as well just loaning Thomas Chivantura?
Yeah, but at that time, you don't know how they're going to do. Listen, everybody looked at them and thought, why are you spending £11 million in Ingles? He got an offer of £25 million. So, yeah, I know where you're coming from. But what I'm saying
is, the point at that time, Celtic were trying to sign Arne Ingles with a view to something long term. At the moment, they're not doing that. It's a different set of circumstances.
For many years, Celtic get great praise for the club's transfer policy. Regardless who the manager was of the day, the club's transfer policy was to sign young, up-and-coming players for a certain amount of money, improve them during their time at Celtic, and sell them on at a profit.
Can you imagine Celtic had paid, they brought six players in, imagine Celtic had paid out six transfer fees in this window. How chaotic that could be, and what you could be left with.
Listen, I am talking the fact that the fans will hold this against the Celtic, because
I don't doubt it, but what I'm trying to say, whether you're passing it off to the fans or not, it has to be more nuanced than just spend money.
I didn't say just spend money. My point,
you kept saying that
my point was quite simple, is if they didn't win the league this season, then the fans would go after them more because they didn't spend money.
The last couple of windows have been far more haphazard than we have been used to watching Celtic in transfer windows. They've been poor the last couple of windows. They need to hope that some of these loan signings, Oxlade-Chamberlain being the latest, when Gordon can hit the ground running and can have a positive influence on the run-in, because Celtic need to start again almost. They need to build a new structure. They need a new head of football operations. They need to get that person to identify a new head coach, and the new head coach and a recruitment team need to identify the players for next season, because the guys we're watching just now in Celtic colours, an awful lot of them won't be here next season.
Thank you, Saf. I was about to bring in Michael, but he's disappeared as well, so you can give us a call back, Michael, on 0141 951 1025. We'll go back to Celtic Park in the not too distant future as well. Still got some interesting ties to come over the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, very much so. Good games tomorrow. Rangers against Queen's Park at Ibrox, 2 o'clock. Lightning, surely, Gordon, could not strike twice. Seb Drogsd, Callum Ferry, both still there, both likely to start. Surely Rangers couldn't trip up again at home to Queen's Park. And of course, later tomorrow night, the derby at Ockle View, Stenhouse Muir versus Falkirk, producer John's game of the season.
I think that Stenhouse Muir Falkirk will be a good game, but see the way Falkirk are going about their business this season. I think they'll go there confident and they'll get themselves through. I think Steyn will put up a good fight against that. And I hope Jim Duffy's not listening, but I'm expecting a high score line tomorrow at Ibrox, I've got to be honest.
That means a cup weekend with no shocks then, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I can't disagree with what Gordon just said there. Falkirk have been a credit to themselves. John McGlynn, a credit to himself. They won't go down at Stenhouse Muir. And Rangers, you know, just because it happened a year ago under vastly different circumstances, Rangers will win by at least three clear goals tomorrow.
Speaking of Falkirk, do you know what transfer story quite enjoyed that came out latterly? What about Celtic's reported interest in Calvin Miller?
Yeah, I saw that actually. Listen, he's been absolutely terrific. He's arguably been Falkirk's best player, and among a batch of very good players this season. He's impressed any time I've seen him. He's one of these players that John McGlynn has reignited his career. It would have been fascinating to see if he had gone back, because, you know, how did he view Calvin Miller? Did he view him as one of the three behind the strike where he plays for Falkirk, or, you know, was he just being signed as cover for Kieran Tierney?
They must have been contemplating paying money for him, because you can't with a straight face go to John McGlynn and say, can we take Calvin Miller on loan?
He's been excellent, Hugh. He's been absolutely excellent this season, I've got to say. And that's what I mean. Sometimes if you're, obviously he was at Celtic as a boy, and he goes to Falkirk and you think, well, that's it, his career's probably just got to stay there. He's got better and better.
Yeah.
And he's been a big part of Falkirk's success this season.
Must have been it clearly never got to that final stage. Celtic obviously had other targets ahead of him and it never got to that. But as far as I understand that there was an interest there, there was a conversation somewhere that took place. So does he then get left feeling a little bit disappointed, or is he just excited about the project and what they're trying to do?
Listen,
at Falkirk at the moment?
I don't know. It depends how far down the line it got. It doesn't sound as if it's as far down the line as any kind of bid, the way Nottingham Forest bid for Engels, the way that Anderlecht bid for Maswanisi at your place. It was maybe just one that Celtic were considering. Listen, it might have happened had they not got in the guys they got in at the end of the window. You know, if Mavuka had fallen through or something like that, they may well have moved from. But I think you should take it for what it is. It's a flattering interest in a player who has done very, very well for a newly promoted team who look as if they're going to finish this season as a top six team.
Okay, let's park that for now, because kickoff at Celtic Park is coming next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Roger Hannah and Gordon Dalziel are in the studio. We are about 5 minutes away from kick-off at Celtic Park for the Scottish Cup tie at home to Dundee. I believe Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has been spotted outside. He'll be making his way in, a few selfies I'd imagine, much like when Gordon Dalziel turns up at Starks Park or something like that. But he'll be the talk of the town, and then the game, of course, which is a big one. It just feels like everything this week has been about signings and the bigger picture and boycotts and all that stuff. But as one of the guys pointed out earlier, a really big 90 minutes, potentially more, coming up for both Celtic and Dundee. So we'll go back there in just a second. In the meantime, you can call us 01419511025. So why not let us know what's on your mind? Maybe you want to talk about that game, about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, about the boycotts. Maybe you want to reflect on today's action, or maybe you want to look ahead to tomorrow. The game just about to get underway in a few moments. Gabriel, is a pretty small crowd generally at this stage of the competition, but it must be much more reduced as a result of this boycott. Would that be fair?
Yeah, certainly, Gordon. You'd be surprised if this is half full in here. Maybe 20, 25,000 fans inside. As you hear there, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain just being paraded on to the pitch. Celtic's latest signing, walking out the tunnel and saying hello to his new fans. He signed a deal until the end of the season with an option for a further year, of course, not played since leaving Beşiktaş, the Turkish club, at the end of last campaign. Number 21 on his back, Oxlade-Chamberlain, the former England international, is a Celtic player. Well, let's get to the game, Gordon. Only a few minutes until kickoff. Martin O'Neill has won 10 out of 11 domestically this season, including 2 out of 2 in cup competitions. It's not always been pretty, but he is certainly getting the job done. He'd be hoping that new signings will bolster this team. Of course, they've brought in 4 since they last played. One of them, Joel Mvuka, starts today. He's one of 5 changes from their last game against Falkirk. Junior Adamu, one of the deadline day signings, is amongst the substitutes. There's no place on the bench for Arne Engels, following the club's rejected £25 million bid from Nottingham Forest. As we know, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is here as well. Let's go through the Celtic team then. Sinisalo in goal. Araujo, Trusty, Scales and Tierney as a back 4. Hetate, McGregor and Bernardo in the middle. Yang, Schwanchera and Mbuka, the forward 3. What about the visitors? Well, Dundee come here with John McCracken in goal. Astley, Graham and Halliday will play. Wright, Hamilton, Congreve, Cottrell, Dander, Yogan and Murray. So, Dundee, we all know about them against Celtic this season. They might not have won here in Glasgow for many, many years, but they did win at Dens Park back in October. That, of course, led to Brendan Rodgers' infamous Honda Civic comments, and his tenure just unravelled from there. And that's part of the fans' unhappiness with the board, Gordon. As you know, I listed so many reasons why supporters might be boycotting and protesting today. As we say, just a few minutes before kickoff, it's barely half full. Not quite the 60,000 fans in here for a usual match at Celtic Park. Celtic against Dundee, though, 5th round of the Scottish Cup. Kickoff about 2 minutes away.
I feel like I need a survey, though. I need a survey, Hugh. I just looked it up again because I got mixed up with the Kilmarnock last. The previous round, this exact round, at this exact time last year, in the same competition, exactly a year ago, Celtic played Raith Rovers.
Yeah,
and it was half full.
Yeah,
so it's half full again. It's hard to know what the extent of the boycott is. Do you see what I mean by that in terms of like the comparison, the measurement?
For a start, Celtic have a large Irish support who can't get back home if you play at this time on a Saturday night. Also, it's live on television. The weather's terrible. Many people might think that will do me, I'll watch it on television. But to one degree or another, people have stayed away.
Oh, there's something in it for sure, yeah.
People have stayed away. And that's why Brian Wilson came out, went on the club's TV channel and spoke of the need for unity, his word. So those who would rather have mutiny will have to get round the table with Brian Wilson and Michael Nicholson and get this sorted out, because Celtic have so many, many problems on the pitch and in terms of their structure off the pitch without having to deal with a mutinous support.
What does it mean, Roger? Does it mean that those who have stayed away have in part been replaced by others who decided to come to the game? I mentioned that the Raith Rovers last season, it was Saturday the 8th of February.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 5:30 kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
It could not have been more similar, really, circumstances. It came 4 days before Bayern Munich. Celtic were in a good place then, and they had a half-empty Celtic Park. So the ones who wanted to stay away, have others just decided to come? Do we get a better idea of this in a so-called bigger game, or a game that's on the season ticket, or something like that?
Yeah, and you wonder if the Celtic fans collective will look at this and think it's maybe not had the impact they were hoping. You know, it's not as if the crowd's down, as you say, considerably from the corresponding fixture 12 months ago in the Scottish Cup. Kickoff time's the same, on the telly just the same. So it doesn't appear to have had a huge impact on the crowd. Will they try and do it again at a more meaningful fixture? Could they try and do it again at, you know, the European game against Stuttgart, another game that's not on the season ticket? Or, you know, what is their next move? Because they've hinted they have more moves up their sleeves, Gordon.
Be meaningful, all right, if they go out the cup today, Gordon.
Yeah, you touched on there, it was Raith Rovers. This is a Premier League team that's capable. I know, Gordon, they're capable of, you know, I would fancy Dundee to get an upset rather than Raith Rovers, if I'm honest.
I meant more in terms of, and I don't mean to disrespect Dundee, I feel that like if you're a Celtic fan and you stay in the house for Raith Rovers. I don't know if you go, oh, Dundee. Yeah, you know, that was all I meant. I don't mean to be disrespectful.
I think there's a lot to it. I think obviously there'll be ones that obviously are boycotted. The weather takes a big part. Yeah. Hugh's quite right in touching on the travelling at that time because it's a 5:30 kickoff, and yeah, it's on TV. And if it was my choice, and I was a Celtic or a Dundee supporter, I'd be tucked up in my recliner watching it on TV.
I'm interested in Dundee, Roger, because I think they can be pretty good. I think, yeah. And they've got some Congreve, yeah, and Yugan. And is that Ashley Hay's not fit, is he? Is it
Simon Murray leading the line? Up top.
But generally speaking, Ashley Hay, and the league position's still not great. They obviously started poorly, but I think they're capable.
Yeah, listen, they've got a puncher's chance at Celtic Park. I think everyone watching will believe Celtic will get through. Martineau has rotated, but it's still a very strong starting 11. It's a decent bench as well. It would be, you used the phrase earlier on, we're going to get a weekend without a cup shock. It would be a seismic shock if Dundee were to win here tonight. Remember what happened to us? Oxley Chamberlain was last at Celtic Park?
With Liverpool?
Scored for England against Scotland.
Oh, did he?
12 years ago.
There, and he scored
Hampden as well. Hampden. Did it twice.
He's got it in for Scotland, that guy.
3-1 and 1-0.
Yeah.
Good knowledge there from Roger.
Who got the other England goal? Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, because did he not match Bobby Charlton's record that night or something
Andy
like
Robertson
that? Maybe
score for Scotland.
Yeah.
A rare goal. Anyway.
And the man who was Scotland manager is sitting in the stand tonight as part of the Dundee travelling entourage, Gordon Strachan.
Yeah, getting selfies with the Celtic fans outside before joining his fellow Dundee power brokers in the stand.
Yeah, yeah.
Popular man. Right, we'll keep you up to speed on anything that's happening. Celtic looked like they had a nice move up their sleeve straight away, but it was an overhit pass from Reo Hatate. And just in case you're wondering, Mvuka is playing on the right, Gordon. So that's interesting, because Yang, don't tell Hugh Evans, but Yang's been decent there in the last, you know,
yeah, and he's got a couple of goals from there. Obviously, the one against Rangers as well, cutting in on that favourite right foot and blasts it by the goalkeeper. It'll be interesting to see how he does tonight.
The height of irony if Yang scores the winner against Livingston midweek after all that big Bartley's had to say about him.
Do you know? But yeah, so see if Yang scores the fifth in a 5-0 win for Celtic against Livy. Do you think Marvin will take well when I ask him post match for some sort of Hugh Evans Yang?
Well,
answer, I don't know if he will.
If it's 5-0 and Yang scores the fifth goal, I'm going to text him while the game's going on.
I wouldn't advise it. Jamie's on the line. Hi, Jamie.
How's it going, right?
Good, Jamie. What's your point tonight?
My point is, see what you're all talking about with transfers and whatever. No, remember, Celtic have paid a lot out, and see managers, if you look at the compensation for Brendan Rodgers alone, on top of compensation, the $2.5 million for Wilfred Nancy before he even came, it's a lot of money. You're talking about the best part of £10 million by the time you put Martin O'Neill's deal into it. So it's no and Jota. So see, before even any transfer, they've got a big outstanding money outlay even before. I think people actually forget that. So when people say they're not spending money, I've had to spend money, and that's money that needs paid out straight away. That is,
Jamie. But see if it was all about money. If this is what I'm trying to say. If it was all about the money, why would they not take the $25 million for Arne Ingles?
Are you kidding? I think if they took the money for Ingles, I think they'd be an absolute. You couldn't even imagine what.
I don't doubt that. But what I'm taking from Jamie's call, correct me if you take something different, is Celtic can't afford to splash all this cash on players because they're paying off managers. They turned down £25 million.
Yeah. And also, I don't believe it was anywhere near £10 million in compensation.
Oh, yeah, but you take the point.
But even if it was £10 million, Jamie, they get £15 million for getting into the Europa League knockout stages.
That's all fair and well, but much do you think Chamberlain is getting them wages to come to Celtic?
Jamie, you can stay here all night and try and make out a case that Celtic would be in need of income support. Celtic get plenty of money. Doesn't matter what Oxlade-Chamberlain's wages are. Doesn't matter what the compensation package was for Brendan and Wilfred Nancy. Celtic get £15 million for reaching the knockout stages of the Europa League. That will cover everything.
I've got no idea, Roger, but if I was just being totally very general, very hypothetical, I'm sure he'll get decent money. But well, you could be talking half a million between now and the end of the season, yeah, for Oxlade-Chamberlain's wage. So yeah, a lot of money, but not enough to hold you back as a football club, which is kind of what Jamie's alleging.
No, absolutely not. And listen, that will not impact Celtic's bank balance, you know, to any note whatsoever. Clearly, Martin O'Neill wants Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in. He believes he's got the qualities that would enhance Celtic's chances of winning the league, of winning the Scottish Cup between now and the end of the season. And you never know, he could come in and have a real impact. He could prove his fitness. He could prove that he still has the quality that he once possessed. And he could win a longer deal. You know, Celtic announced it this afternoon. They made it clear that there is an option there for him to stay beyond the end of the season. But quite what Celtic's first team will look like at the start of next season really is for anyone to debate, because there will be a head of football operations, there will be a new head coach, there will be countless new players, Gordon.
Within the first 6 minutes, Gordon, if there's nothing really happened, you're just looking at how are the teams setting up, what's their approach like, what lessons or what kind of conclusions can you draw? And it looks like Dundee are pressing really high and trying to have a proper go at Celtic, but well done John McCracken. He has to come a good 40 yards out. Mvuka was onto it. Was offside flag up?
I don't really know. No, obviously not. And I'll tell you what, you're right, Gordon. Good goalkeeping. He's read the situation because he was in. There's no doubt about that. You're right. Dundee are pressing, and they've got the players to do that. You know, Simon Murray just runs and runs for fun.
How fascinating are these tactical battles, though? Because what you saw there, and maybe that's what Celtic now have. So it's all well and good Dundee pressing high up the pitch, but one long ball to Chivantura. And because Dundee are pressed high, he just flicked it on, and Mvuka had half the pitch to run into.
Yeah, that's a gamble. If you go and you press high, you've got to make sure that you're not open for the sucker punch over the top, just that one simple ball, and then all of a sudden you find yourself a goal down at Celtic Park with a mountain to climb. So he's decided, Stephen Presley's decided that he wants to go in the front foot. He thinks he's got the players in the front area to do it. First goal's got to be important as usual in a cup tie.
Stephen Presley, a Scottish Cup winner with Celtic under Gordon Strachan back in the day, is on one of your favourite questions. Won it with Hearts 2006, moved to Celtic, won it again with Celtic in 2007.
Same as Paul Hartley.
Yep.
Back to back seasons with different clubs.
Won it with Rangers in the 90s.
Won it with three different clubs, Stephen Presley. Could he add it? Be something if he added it as a manager this season. My goodness. But it has to get past Celtic first. 7.5. Celtic have looked dangerous in terms of some areas. Not really any chances yet. They have their first corner, but they've found some pockets of space quite well, Gordon, in the early stages.
Yeah, working it well down the right hand side, as you expect, just using the width, Gordon, being nice and patient. Callum McGregor just sitting in the middle of the park trying to organise everything, as I think his Hatate's went with a shot there. Well over the bars, not really troubling McCracken, but yeah, decent start to the game. I certainly think there'll be goals in it. That's we're just seeing that again. Just one long ball, and lucky the goalkeeper on his toes. He comes out there and rescues Dundee.
What a start that could have been for Mvuka if he scored a goal.
Does look to have a turn of pace though,
Hugh. Yeah, absolutely.
He held on to that one. Vanchar have moved it on.
Okay, 01419511025. The lines are still open. Keep your calls coming. Of course, we're keeping an eye on events at Celtic Park, and if you want to preview tomorrow's action as well, this might be a good time to do so.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line, 01419511025.
Still Celtic 0, Dundee 0, 12 minutes on the clock, but Celtic have made some interesting opportunities. Firstly, it was a very swift, incisive counter-attack. It was flashed across by Yang. Chivantura couldn't get there, and neither could Mvuka at the back post. And then another moment where Rio Hatate cut in and had a shot pushed away by John McCracken.
I'm liking Mvuka right away. Good feet, and clearly not troubled at all by the debut at Celtic Park. He's liking it.
Yeah, he's getting a bit of the ball down the right hand side. Celtic, as you said, Gordon, there by an early chance. It was great play all the way from the back. Hatate involved in it as well. Great ball across. Just unfortunately couldn't get the go and end it. But they're starting to ask a few questions of Dundee, and if they play like this, I'm sure goals will come for them.
There was a slightly ropey moment, Roger, when Cameron Congreve flashed one across and Sinisalo didn't really cover himself in glory at his near post. Would that be fair?
I think it came off his near post, didn't it? Yeah, I think it actually maybe hit the post and back out to safety, but no, he did not. He's standing in for Kasper Schmeichel this afternoon. He did not look at his most comfortable there, Gordon.
So 13 gone, no goals yet, but Celtic looking threatening, just looking for that final touch. Lots coming down both flanks. Set piece a moment or two ago, corner didn't really come to anything, so we'll keep an eye in the opening stages to see who goes into the draw to join St Mirren, who took extra time to get past Airdrie last night. Of course, Dunfermline joined them by beating Kelty today, and Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle.
Aye, it's nice to come back here and actually go away with a positive result after the last time I was here. Thought the game old-fashioned cup tie, and I think we all understood what we were coming to. So we knew it was going to be difficult. We knew we weren't going to, you know, just be runaway winners here, and turned out that way. And I'm glad the boys showed resilience in the end after Elgin scored their second goal to start building, create more chances, and eventually get winner. Like, I've been there myself as a player. You get a sense of that when you're on the pitch as well, especially when you're away from home. So fair play to the players for steadying themselves and gaining their composure again, and then, you know, putting things together. And I thought the goal, the way we worked it, obviously took a few deflections away in, but I was pleased with that. So, you know, they've done that time and time again this year. When, you know, we concede or we take a wee bump in the road, they've been great at bouncing back, and they showed that in 90 minutes today.
The Jags are in the hat.
Yep. The Jags are in the hat. Congratulations to them. As we said earlier on, it looked, you know, listening to Alison's report, it wasn't always straightforward for them the way I thought it might have been when they took that early lead. But you can only go to places like that and do your business and win the game. Ben Stanway, they will not keep him beyond the end of this season. I think he's already knocked back contract offers. He will move on, but he's played a big role today in taking Thistle into the last eight.
Do you think he's maturing? I don't think he's liking the last time you were in Elgin.
No, he's not. He doesn't care for that at all. And David Friel earlier told us the reaction that Mark had to David saying, "Have you ever been to the Borough Briggs before?" But I repeat, he's second top of the championship. He's very much in the promotion race. He's doing a grand job with Partick Thistle. They're in the last eight of the Scottish Cup. What more can Mark Wilson do?
Dundee just taking the pressure off themselves a bit, driving forward, and there's a foul committed just around the halfway line by Rio Hitati. So Dundee still sticking to their game plan, Gordon. They're playing quite an open brand and passing it around and pressing Celtic high.
Yeah, well, listen, it's a cup tie. You're not there to go and try and maybe sneak a point and go up the road. It's all about getting your name in the hat. They've got to be cautious, because if they put too many bodies forward, they put a nice ball in the box there. Listen, they're a threat. You know that about Dundee. The one thing about them, they've got guys out there like the captain today, Simon Murray. He will cause all sorts of problems.
Good cross in, and Murray got up with the header. Pretty sure it came off Austin Trusty. I think Simon Murray thinks it did as well. But it was a goal kick anyway. Celtic tried to play fast, and Dundee pressing them very, very high indeed. There's three Dundee players in the Celtic box.
I'm not sure Sinisalo's got the temperament for that. The nature of the pass backs to him and the high press from Dundee, but they've survived the moment.
Yeah, Celtic are standing up to that press quite well, Roger. They haven't always done that this season.
No, that's the case. And I know the point you're making about Sinisalo, but they have looked reasonably comfortable playing it out from the back altogether. It's actually been a really good start to the game these first 18-19 minutes. Chances at either end. I just wonder, you know, how long it would take Celtic to get in top and start really imposing their will on this game of football. Gordon.
Yang, maybe put a shot out for a throw in there, Hugh, if you want to bring that up.
Yang is very, very much like Yang. And Marvin Bartley's there watching it all. So I'll text him tonight, because I sent him a text last Sunday when he became the manager, and I said, "Make Yang your first signing."
There he is, leaving no stone unturned. Celtic at Celtic Park on Wednesday night. He's there doing his homework. You cannot accuse the man not taking his newly promoted position seriously.
You've not spotted Mercedes Jens in the corner.
He was
next to Jim Goodwin as well. So all the managers are there keeping an eye on things.
Well, you know, Mercedes Jens is there. She's probably the next Celtic manager.
Come on.
Oh, you're thrown out today, Hugh. I like it.
Rio Hitati might be on his final warning. You can see the referee holding up the two fingers to indicate the two fouls that he's committed already. So I think one more like that and Rio Hitati would be in the book. So we're now getting a fair section into the game, 17 and a half, still goalless. Celtic have looked bright at times, but might want to step it up again.
Well, it's not a foregone conclusion, that's for sure. And with Simon Murray, an absolute nuisance, and Sinisalo, I don't think the most reliable of goalkeepers. I think Celtic might be in the market for another goalkeeper. Schmeichel, I don't expect to see there next season. Sinisalo, I'm not sure the fans believe in him as the number one choice. So Celtic be in the market for a goalkeeper, among several other things.
The only thing I'll say, Hugh, is he's not really had a real run of games, and sometimes it's difficult coming in for the cup games and stuff like that. So yeah, I know what you're saying. You look at him, you think, oh, I don't know if he's going to be the answer. But as a player, you really need a right run of games to show what you can do and settle in. And remember, you're working with defenders and you're not used to playing with them week in, week out. So
it's not a bad spell, this, for Dundee.
Dundee are decent, by the way. Dundee are okay. If you don't play well and you give them an opportunity, they'll hurt you. There's no doubt.
You're an away player that's playing in a cup final like this. You're in the Dundee side and you come out at Celtic Park to discover the place is half empty. Does that give you a lift?
I always believed that I loved playing in front of big crowds. I think it gave you a bigger lift. I think the atmosphere and the adrenaline and everything, Roger, would give you a bigger lift. Yeah, some players at Dundee might just look at it and think, oh yeah, okay, Celtic fans don't fancy it tonight for whatever reason, so we might have a go here. But no, I was always a loved the full crowd.
What a first touch that is.
I'm having that
from Mvuka. He just sticks out the left boot and brings it down, but it's back with Liam Scales for the moment. So reaching that 20 minute mark, still time to squeeze some calls in if you want. Always a bit more difficult when there's a game ongoing, but nevertheless, we do still have time as we await an opener in this one. I was interested, Gordon, as well, watching Celtic's press, trying to get it back off Dundee. How often do you have to watch Celtic's press without Daizen Maeda in it? We never really see that these days.
Yeah, he's usually the one that I think. I'll tell you what, if Roger's talking about Dundee players, if you're a defender and a goalkeeper and you see Maeda's not in the team sheet, I think you're quite happy with that, because you know that if he's playing, the minute you get the ball, he'll be round about you doing the press. But it'll be interesting to see. I think I keep going back to it. I like the look of the way Celtic are playing. They're getting the ball forward. They are patient.
We've given him Vuka praise where he deserved it, but he just tackled himself there a little bit.
Arroyo's high up. He gives Celtic something extra on the right hand side, something that's been missing since Alistair Johnson's been out the side injured. You know, as an attacking, someone to supplement the attack, Gordon, he offers more than either Ralston or Donovan for me, and he's in an impressive start up that side with him, Vuka, today.
Here he is, the first of the January signings, the only one signed under Wilfried Nancy, as you heard on last night's Beat the Pundit. You were on fire last night,
yeah. I was good.
Did you win, Hugh? I take it?
Oh, easily.
5-1, I think.
Ah.
Celtic flashing a few balls across the face, but no takers, and Ethan Hamilton does really, really well to take the pressure off, carries it some distance, and draws a foul from Callum McGregor. What about tomorrow then at Ibrox? What does your preview look like, Roger Hannah?
It'll be the easiest team talk of Danny Rule's Rangers reign so far. He'll just say to them, don't do what you did last year when I wasn't here. It was a calamitous result. It effectively finished off Philippe Clement at the football club. And Danny Rule will know not to take Queen's Park lightly tomorrow. Callum Ferry is still in goal, as I said earlier. Seb Drogd, who scored that goal at Ibrox last season, will be there and playing. Yes, they will miss Josh Fowler, who's headed for St Johnstone, but it didn't seem to do them any harm when they beat Arbroath last week without him. It'll be a great day for Sean Crichton and Jim Duffy, but I would expect Rangers, as Daz said earlier, to win with a bit to spare.
Chance for some of the new players to start games again, Gordon, what would you expect?
Yeah, I think there'll be big changes tomorrow. I think some of the new players, Romans at left back, I'd love to see him starting, I really would. He had great potential down that left hand side, teaming up with Moore. But look, it's a day out for Queen's Park, and I'm writing them off because I don't think there will be a cup shot. They probably look at it and think, you know, it's a free hit. We shouldn't have been there, only for a mistake away from Sunra. So go and enjoy it. But I fancy Rangers to knock in a few goals tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think 3-0. But with regard to this game, one quarter of the way through, I think Celtic, for all their domination, I think Celtic would like a goal before half time. Before, I think if your goal is at half time, it gets a little bit
nervous. You'd be a terrible, terrible football manager. Not because of your ability to spot.
Too anxious.
Yeah, you're 22 minutes on the clock and you're thinking, need a goal before half time.
Use those three substitute windows for a half hour mark.
He would, his tactics and everything would have been changed.
He just doesn't hang about.
No, he likes an early goal.
Did you never get anxious even when you were 6-0 down to Rangers and then it became 7?
Yeah, well, I got anxious that it was going to be 10, if I'm truly honest with you. But no, I never stood at any point after 22 minutes and thinking, oh, I need a goal quickly, I need a goal here.
That's what you're thinking. I hope Barry remembers I'm getting his shirt.
Yeah, final thoughts on this one, Roger. We'll probably need to head off soon. What have you made of the opening exchanges?
It's been good. Dundee have come to play football. Celtic settling in. A save there from John McCracken. And I think Stephen Presley will be the happier of the two managers after a quarter of the game.
I've got to be honest, I think Martin O'Neill will be silently happy. I know that they've not scored, but they're bossing the game. They're getting good width into their game. They're knocking the ball about well. They're winning the ball back off of Dundee. I think it's a matter of time before Celtic score, bonus.
And we can't look beyond this, Hugh, because this is a big night and then a big day tomorrow, and we've still got some rescheduled games. We need to find out who is going to be through in the cup, but it's hard to not get excited about midweek already.
Oh, yeah,
an
yeah.
Edinburgh derby, league leading Hearts welcoming Hibs on Tuesday. So again, with the chance to either put points on the board before the other two play, or show that they've slipped up. And then, if you're looking at on paper, tough fixtures the next night. Rangers going to Motherwell. Celtic maybe with a so-called easier one at home to Livy. I cannot wait for midweek.
Motherwell's figures at Fir Park are astonishing. The number of clean sheets, the length of time it has been since they lost at Fir Park. They started the season with a 1-1 draw in the Russell Martin days against Rangers. Rangers are far improved since then, but Motherwell are mightily improved since then. That has the look of the game of the season about it.
I'm not excited about that, Hugh, and this is as honest as I can be. I am going to Fir Park next Wednesday.
No way.
Yep, I am looking.
That's
so
huge
much
news.
That is huge. That shows you how good a game this is
going
to be.
Are you paying?
Absolutely not.
I will only believe this when I have photographic evidence.
You will have photograph. I am going to Fir Park next Wednesday for the game of the century.
The century now, not even game of the season. Good, right, we're looking forward to it. Thank you very much to Hugh Keevans, Roger Hannah, Gordon Dl, and to our reporters. There weren't many of them, there weren't many games today, but we did it together. We got through it largely, and thanks to you for keeping us busy with all your messages and your calls. And to those of you who just listen quietly, we always appreciate that as well. It is still goalless between Celtic and Dundee. Whatever happens though, there's a big game tomorrow as well. The guys have you covered from 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and the GBX is up next.